Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everybody here this morning. We're in Luke chapter 9 this morning as we continue to go through the Gospel of Luke. This beautiful fall day. I just don't want it to get too cold too fast, right? Anyway, we're in Luke chapter 9 and we'll begin in verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make preparation for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to them, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. If you will follow Christ, it will be a life of a great adventure. It's absolutely the best life that you can imagine, doing something that matters not just for now, but for eternity. Yes, it will have its ups and downs. It will not be an easy life. It will, from time to time, be filled with pain and suffering. It may even bring ridicule and persecution and death. But it's a life like no other. You see, from a human, from a divine standpoint, it matters not to God whether you have great potential or no potential. Let me say that again. It matters not to God if, from a human standpoint, you have great potential or no potential. Your intelligence and your giftedness does not include you or exclude you from knowing, loving, and serving Jesus and being used by Him in world-changing ways. You're not doing him a favor by bringing your talents and gifts to him. He gave you the talents and gifts, or he can give you the talents and gifts so that you might have the privilege of serving him. He wants you to know his love, and he wants you to be a part of his work. Yes, he does. He wants not what you think you might be able to bring to him. He wants you. He loves you. He cares for you. If this morning you have all the natural potential in the world, you're never going to earn God's love through that. He doesn't need what you have to offer. Your potential, if you do not abandon your life to Christ and His will, is potential only for nothingness. It will not matter in the end. I want you to understand that living your life without living for Christ, without finding His purposes and His will, without a loving and growing relationship with Him, is a life that will never achieve the potential God intended for you to have. You see, I want you to understand this morning, and it's very simple. Life's greatest adventure is following Jesus. Don't miss it. Life's greater adventure is following Jesus. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss the adventure of following Jesus by making promise to Him without understanding the cost of following Him. Now, you look at this chapter in Luke, and we look at verse 51, and sometimes we'll just read that casually. But it's actually a very important verse, a turning point in the Gospel of Luke. And it's a very impactful. And it says this: when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, He set His face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. You see, Jesus understood the time for the completion of his mission was at hand. It was near. He'd been telling his apostles that he was going to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day rise again. And verse 51 gives us the language that he's going to be taken up, and it implies his ascension, his bodily ascension back to heaven. It's the same language that's used in Acts 1 as Jesus ascended. Jesus knew these events were coming, and they had to come. And so the scripture says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. The New International translates this, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. You see, he knew what was ahead. He knew there was a cross in front of him. He knew the suffering of the rejection that he would face as he went to Jerusalem. But he decided to meet the cross head on. He decided to meet the cross head on. He set his face like flint, determinedly, decidedly, to go to Jerusalem. You see, he was not the victim of circumstance, but he was the ruler of circumstances. We have to understand that Jesus willingly went to the cross for us. Excuse me. He wasn't going to be sidetracked. He wasn't going to be derailed. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In fact, you read a couple more verses, and he goes through Samaria, and he sends some messengers in to ask the people to stay there. But when they realized he was going to Jerusalem, they didn't want him to come through. And in fact, it uses the very same words. The people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. Prejudice between the Samaritans and the Jewish people was intense. But the point here is they knew he was going to Jerusalem, and they would not receive him. They would not receive him. And so the scripture says that James and John, kind of like Elijah did in the Old Testament, asked, Lord, can we call down fire from heaven because they rejected you? Let's just burn these people up. I don't think they've been listening to Jesus very closely, but anyway. You see, Jesus rebuked them, and in some translations there's kind of expansions because there's some verses in that passage that many people do not believe were in the, those verses kind of explain it, but they don't believe they were in the original manuscripts. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. But Jesus rebuked them. He rebuked them. You see, the old covenant, the way of Elijah, that he would call fire down from heaven to, you remember in 1 Kings chapter, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 1, to destroy the soldiers who'd been sent to arrest him, that was not the way of the new covenant. Jesus would not be derailed by peripheral issues. He would not be sidetracked. His mind was made up. His face was fixed. He was going to Jerusalem, and he knew everything that that meant. Now, how do you face difficult things? How do you face something that you know's there, you know you need to deal with it, but it's hard? It's going to cause pain. It's going to be sorrowful. It's a hard thing. Jesus knew it was hard, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And sometimes when we know we have to do something difficult, the thing to do is face it head on. And face it as quickly and as directly as we can. Jesus, showing his sovereign control of the situation, faced the cross head on. He would not be sidetracked. I heard about a story about a Colonel William Post during the first Desert Storm. And he had to get supplies to the right places at the right time. Well, he got a memo from command, and they told him that he needed to find 300 cases of grape jelly. Well, he ignored the memo and the many other memos that followed that memo about the 300 cases of grape jelly. Finally, he received a final fax, and the final fax was marked extremely urgent, and it said, you need to find those cases of grape jelly. He replied with his own fax, and he said this, you have to make a choice. I can find the cases of grape jelly and help. I can't find the cases of grape jelly and help defeat Saddam Hussein at the same time. What do you want me to do? You see, some things just have to be faced and don't get sidetracked and move forward. And Jesus was moving ahead to provide for our redemption, to provide for our salvation. He was headed toward Jerusalem. Now, Luke tells us that as he was walking toward Jerusalem, there were some who were challenged to follow him. Now, you got to remember this, because as they talked to Jesus about following him, he was on his way to the cross. He was headed that direction. And so the first man seemed to make an unqualified commitment to follow Jesus. He said in verse 57, he said, I will follow you wherever you go. And he said this as they were going along the road. I will follow you wherever you go. It seemed to be an unqualified commitment to following Jesus. But Jesus knew he really didn't understand what he was saying. He didn't understand what it meant to follow him. He didn't understand that following Jesus was not following him somewhere, but following him with your life. Not following him to a place, but following him until you go to heaven, basically, is what it means. You see, the man wanted a place, and Jesus said, following me, you don't have any place in this world. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The man, as he was around Jesus, as he was around his disciples, he was caught up in the emotion of the moment, and he said, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. As Jesus was moving toward the cross, this man made an emotional commitment to him. R.C.H. Linsky says, the man was like a soldier who could see the parades and the dress blue uniforms, but he doesn't see the forced marches, the bloody battles, and the unmarked graves. Robert Stein said that this first saying shows that Jesus seeks no flippant, frivolous decision to follow him. Following Jesus means becoming a stranger and an exile in the earth. That's what it means to following Jesus. Maybe this guy's like some of us. Maybe at one time in our lives, we in the heat of an emotional moment said, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you lead. But when we look back at that time, it was nothing more than an emotional moment. You may have left that place or that service, and nothing in your life ever changed. You see, if that kind of thing happened to you, but when you got home or you left the service, you were the same person with the same desires that you had before, you're only responding to emotion instead of the Spirit of God. Because when you say yes and really mean it to Jesus, your life will change. You see, consider what it means to follow Jesus. It will be difficult. It will be hard. You will have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. Yes, there will be people who mock you and ridicule you and persecute you. Yes, that is true, but I am telling you, it is worth whatever it costs to follow Jesus. The life that he offers is life itself. Is life itself. Say to him, yes, I will follow you no matter what the cost. Because whatever it costs is worth it. Ross Coggins wrote, if others stop to count the cost, for fear of earthly treasures lost, I'll count it gain to die for thee. Send me, O Lord, send me. Will you follow Jesus? You see, it's an adventure following Jesus. It's the best life that you can have. It's not an easy life, but it's a life worth living. And so it's a great adventure. There's another reason people miss the great adventure of following Jesus. Don't miss the adventure of following Jesus by being primarily tied to earthly relationships. The second man said, Jesus said, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He said, I will follow you. Jesus said, follow me. And he said, I'll follow you. But he said, let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, no. Now that seems kind of callous, right? Seems kind of hard. But think about this. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross. And he called this man. And whenever Jesus calls you, everything else is secondary and unimportant. Everything else is a distant second, including relationships with family and friends. You see, some people never want to be far from their family or friends. But what does God want you to do? Family relations sometimes hold people close instead of releasing them to go wherever God has called them to go. And family relations are important. Of course they are. Even in fact, the New Testament said if you don't care for your family, you're worse than an infidel to people. But they are secondary to your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship to God must be your primary relationship. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. There's a play on words here. And basically he was saying, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You commit yourself to God and his people and preach the message. And so he says, you preach and proclaim the kingdom of God. You have a message of life that you need to follow me and proclaim. And that is more important than even your own relationships with your family. No earthly relationship is more important than your relationship to Jesus and the mission God has called you to complete. Do you understand that? You know, I've heard people say, I can never live if something happened to my husband or to my wife or to my kids or to my grandkids. I couldn't make it. Well, I know it'd be hard. But is your relation is that person your life? Is your spouse your life? Are your kids your life? Or is Jesus your life? You see, I've known lots of people that lost people very close to them. But because Jesus was their life, they made it and they thrived and they continued to live for the glory of God. And they continued to find the great life that God has for them. You see, his call is supreme. If your family doesn't walk with God, if they don't know Jesus, it's still the best thing to follow him. It's not only best for you, it's best for them to see someone that will follow him no matter what. If you're blessed with a family that walks with God, that's the thing they truly want you to do, even though it's hard. It is hard to see your kids maybe go across the world or across the country and be far from you in obeying the call of God. That is not easy. It's not easy for us, Carla and I. You know, it was not easy for me to send my first son off to college, even though he was only an hour and a half away. I was a blubbering idiot on the day that we left him. And I always preach these tough-talking sermons, kind of like the tough-talking sermon I'm preaching today. It is not easy, but I know I want for my children, I want them to do the thing that God has called them to do, even if it might be hard for me, because it's always the best thing to follow Jesus and to preach his word. You see, his word is life. When you preach the gospel, people find life and they're delivered and they're set free. We must primarily tie ourselves to God and his will and not human relationships. Did you hear about the 68-year-old woman who said, I'm sick and tired of my mother running my life and telling me what to do? Some of you might know people like that. I've known some people like that. You cannot let any other relationship stand between you and the Lord. and Jesus. Don't miss the adventure of following Jesus by being primarily tied to earthly relationships. There's another reason people miss the adventure of following Jesus, and that's this. Don't miss the adventure of following Jesus by wanting to follow him later. A man came to Jesus, the third man, and he told Jesus he would follow him, but first he wanted Jesus to let him go back and say goodbye to his family. Maybe he understood the invitation of Jesus, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross, following me. This man had good intentions. I will follow you, but that wasn't enough. The man wanted to follow Jesus on his terms. He wanted to follow Jesus after he had finished and wrapped up all his own business. When the man said that he wanted to go say goodbye to his family, he was asking to Jesus to give him some time to go back home and not just say goodbye, but to put his affairs in order, to make sure everything was good when he left. He was asking Jesus to give him some time to get everything wrapped up. The words used in saying goodbye is used for an officer who would leave his soldiers and leave them with parting instructions. The man wanted to follow Jesus, but he only wanted to follow him when he felt everything was in order in his own life. He wanted to follow Jesus on his terms. You see, when Jesus calls you to follow him to do his will, your life and your affairs are secondary. They don't mean anything. Leave them and follow him. We are called to the business of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you stop whatever you do do his bidding. You stop whatever you do do his bidding. You might think, I can wait, but delay robbed you of the adventure. The man would go home, he would see his friends and family, his heart would be turned away from doing what Jesus had called him to do. When Jesus calls, that's the time to say yes. You see, if you're looking for an excuse not to follow Jesus, there's always one to be found. Some people say, I'm too young. Others say, I'm too old. Most people say, I'll follow Jesus, but not today. But the Bible tells us today is the only day we have. Today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. There is nothing more important in life that we can do than to follow Jesus. There's nothing more important than that. You see, we sometimes think we can respond to God on our own timetable. We think we will fit God into our plans. But God doesn't want you to fit him into your plans. He wants you to fit into his plans. Think about this. Who is God, him or you? Him or me? Who needs to fit into whose plans? Sometimes we think we can follow the Lord whenever we choose, but that's not true. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. This man and you and I need to respond to Jesus and follow him now, today. You could say, I got a lot of plans. I've got a lot of living to do, but there's no life. There's no living apart from Jesus. Apart from God's will and his plans, you'll miss life if you delay following him. If you say, not now, but later I'll follow Christ. Later, when? After a life ravaged by sin and filled with regrets, when will you follow him? Don't miss the adventure of following Jesus by wanting to follow him later. And then tied in with that reason is the final reason people miss the adventure of following Jesus. Don't miss the adventure of following Jesus by focusing on the past. Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. When you follow Jesus, you got to follow him wholeheartedly. You have to follow him by burning the bridges behind you. The picture that Jesus gives is of someone who's trying to plow a straight furrow, but he's continually looking behind him. The person has started toward the great adventure of following Jesus. He or she is a newcomer. They put their hand to the plow, but their gaze is continually behind. It's backwards. He's not focused on the life of the adventure of following Jesus. He's looking at the past. He's looking at the past. Maybe it's something good, a successful thing that has happened he continually gazes at. Maybe it's some tragedy that he just can't seem to get beyond. Maybe it's some sin that they think that the Lord somehow can't receive the Lord's forgiveness for that. You know, there's nothing you've done that he will not forgive. His blood is greater than your sin. They keep looking behind. They keep looking back. Whatever it is, let it go. Don't look to the past. You can't do a thing about it. I can't do a thing about the past. I can only forgive those who have wronged me. I can only receive God's forgiveness for the sins that I've committed against Him and against others. I can only do that, and I can look at what He has for me in the future, the great adventure of following Him. You see, since the Scripture says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, look at Him. Stay focused on Him. What is it that keeps you looking back? Some people are always living in the past, in the good old days. The truth is, the good old days weren't as great as we think they are. You know, I know some people that never graduated from high school. Yeah, they got their diplomas. And they went to college, but they never really left high school. Always looking back and wishing they'd done something different. They wish they'd asked so-and-so on a date. Or they wish they hadn't asked so-and-so on a date. They wish they'd not worked while they were going to high school, or they wish they had worked. They wish they'd played some sport, because they know if they did, they would be the next Aaron Rodgers or Steph Curry. I know some people who never grow up and continually kind of live in a teenage world. Some people try to live vicariously through their children because they never leave, because they're looking back. What is it that causes you to look back? You know, we all have regrets. And I can get so focused on looking at the ways I messed up in my life that I forget that God still wants me to use me in spite of the ways I messed up in my life. We all have successes. But sometimes those successes, we look back and we live in the glory days, but they're not that glorious anymore. Look at what Jesus has for you. Don't be tied to the past. There'll be difficult times and times you want to go back as a Christian. But you can't go back. Keep focused on what Jesus has ahead for you. You see, if you know Jesus, if you know Him, the best is always yet to come. The best is always in front of us. He will be with us. He will never leave us. Look ahead to the great adventure He has for us as we follow Him. You see, life is an adventure if you will follow Christ, if you will say yes. He doesn't call you to any hardship He has not already faced. He was on the way to Jerusalem as He was calling these to follow Him. He determinedly went to the cross for you and me. And so following Him is a great adventure. It's a great life that He has for us. Don't miss the adventure by making false promises to Him and you don't understand the cost of following Him. Don't miss it by being primarily tied to earthly relationships. Don't miss wanting to follow Him by wanting to follow Him tomorrow instead of today. Don't miss it by focusing on the past instead of what He has for you. Life is a great adventure if you will follow Christ, if you'll say yes. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. How do you need to follow Jesus today? How do you need to follow Him? You need to begin this adventure by putting your faith and trust in Jesus as Savior, realizing you are a sinner and you're separated from Him, but He has died for you so that you could be forgiven and have life. And He wants to save you from your sins and be the Lord and leader of your life. Have you ever put your trust in Him? Today might be the day that you need to put your trust in Jesus. Do you need to take the next step of confessing Him publicly by being baptized as a believer? You see, once we say yes to Jesus, then we follow Him in believer's baptism. We tell the world that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe today you need to answer the call that God has been speaking to you. He's laid on your heart some kind of new ministry or faith challenge or something you need to do, and you've just been kind of, you're scared. There's nothing wrong with being scared, but follow Jesus. Move past that fear and move in faith to do what He's called you to do. Do you need to let go of something in your past and look to the future? Is there some sin that you need to understand God's forgiveness for? Is there some victory that you continually keep looking back on? You see, if God is speaking to you today, whatever He says to you, obey Him. If you need to talk to someone about any of these things, about making some kind of determined commitment to Jesus, don't leave this building without doing that. Father, we love You. And Father, I just thank You for the adventure of following You. And I thank You, Father, that it's been a great life for me. And Lord, I ask You to forgive me when I get focused on the wrong direction. When I look back, and when my focus is not on living for You and loving You and doing Your will. I thank You that Your forgiveness is real. And Lord, help me to keep moving forward as I follow You. And I pray this for every other person in this building today. I pray that they would find the life that You have for them. Lord, if they're in bondage, if there's something that's holding them back, by Your grace, enable them to say yes to You, and that to a life that's not easy, but a life that is the life, that's the only life to live, the life of following You, Jesus. Would You work and move and help? It is in Your name I pray. Amen.